Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26 is where we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I ask that we would be those who willingly allow your word to govern our lives. No matter what you tell us, no matter what commands you give us, I pray that we would submit to you, that we would be obedient to you, because we know, Lord, that you know best. You know the dangers in life. You know the pathway that leads to blessing. I pray that we would hear your Spirit this morning, that we would readjust our lives according to what you have for us. Bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, life really is all about choices, isn't it? You and I make choices every single day, and the choices that we make have ramifications. There's consequences. Now, there are many choices that we make every day that are trivial. They don't matter all that much. For instance, some of you are going to go out to lunch after church today, and you're going to choose between red enchiladas or green enchiladas, right? Now, some have a very strong opinion on that, but there's no right answer. It's a trivial choice that you have to make. But then there are significant choices that we make in life. And the book of Proverbs deals with the significant choices. The wisdom to make the right choices found in the book of Proverbs. And we have a very significant choice to make according to verse 26. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. The righteous should choose his friends carefully. We have the power to choose our friends. We have the power to choose those who we're going to let close to us. Those people that we're going to surround ourselves with. Those people that we are going to hang with. We have that choice. Now, obviously, this verse isn't speaking about the many acquaintances that we have in our lives. There's lots of acquaintances that we might have that we don't get to choose. For instance, most of us don't get to choose who sits next to us at work, who we work with, who we work for, or who we need to conduct business with, or we don't get to choose who our next door neighbor is, or we don't get to choose who's in the various classes with us, or things like that. There's certainly acquaintances that you don't get to choose, and we should work to have a very good relationship with all of those acquaintances. And certainly this verse isn't speaking about our relatives. We don't get to choose our relatives. You're born into those relationships. One man said, God gives us relatives. Thank God we can choose our friends. But we should no doubt work very hard to have good, solid, positive, healthy relationships with our relatives. But we do have the power to choose friends. I'm talking about your bros, your buddies, people that you choose to spend time with and you don't have to. People that you allow to get very, very close to you. And your friend will become very, very close to you. Aristotle asked, what is a friend? A single soul dwelling in two bodies. Cicero said a friend is, as it were, a second self. You do have the power to choose those friends. And this verse tells you that you need to make that choice very carefully. It says, the righteous should choose his friends carefully. An NIV version puts it like this. A righteous man is cautious in his friendship. And the word means there's a searching, there's a scrutiny, there's an investigation. The idea here being that we are to make deliberate, well thought out choices about friendships. Now, I'm not suggesting that we go around putting people on trial, being snobby. We shouldn't go to people and say, hey, let's hang out for a couple weeks and let me see if you got what it takes to be my friend. Definitely not that. We should be open and friendly and willing to spend time and talk with anybody in our life. I'm talking about those special, tender, heart-sharing friendships. Choose those carefully. Parent, especially if you're a parent of younger kids, smaller kids still in the home, this is a principle that we need to ingrain within the very fiber of our kids' beings. This is something that we absolutely need to teach them. And you need to teach them actively. We need to teach our kids the importance of choosing and selecting the right companions. And we need to even take the time to teach them how to choose and select the right companions. And start doing that as earliest in their life as possible. Over several years in ministry, I have spoken to a number of parents who have had a son or daughter go in a bad direction in life. And maybe they were raised in a Christian home even, and there's frustration there, and they're talking about, oh, what's going on? And let me tell you, in every single one of those counseling sessions, when I deal with a parent like that, there's always this idea mentioned. He was doing great, she was doing great, but they got caught up in the wrong crowd. They got caught up in the wrong crowd and they went berserk. Oh, parent, hear that cry. Hear that cry from a parent that would be frustrated and make it your ambition and goal to teach your kids not to go into the wrong crowd. How to identify the right crowd. And it's something that we have to do actively. You can't be passive about it. John MacArthur said in his parenting book, we must help our children learn to select the right companions. Otherwise, the wrong companions will inevitably select them. We've all heard of James Dobson. Focus on the family. Expert in family relations. In his book, Hide and Seek, he wrote this. He said, I knew a blind 15-year-old girl who refused to admit she had a handicap. She would not accept the help of a special teacher provided by the school, and her parents could not even get her to use a white cane. To thump along the corridor of the school marked her as different from her peers, and she could not tolerate that distinction. I watched one day as she walked to her class with her head erect as though she knew where she was going. Before I could stop her, she walked straight into a post. Even this experience was insufficient to make her use the device which other teenagers did not need. He says, I worked with the parents of a second grade boy having a hearing problem. He simply would not let them put a hearing aid in his ear. He'd rather be deaf than different. Truly, conformity is a powerful drive in children of all ages. And then in summary, he says this, It is important for your children to know about group pressure before it reaches its peak. Someday, your child may be sitting in a car with four friends who decide to shoot some heroin. Your preparation is no guarantee that he will have the courage to stand alone at that critical moment, but his knowledge of peer influence could provide the independence to do what is right. I mean, at the earliest of ages, folks, we need to teach our kids that. Instill those ideas in them. Teach them about the power of group pressure. And I think if we got real little kids, we direct their friendships. We guard their friendships. We teach them early on. And as they get older and they get a little more independent, my friend, my parent, monitor their friendships. Understand who are they texting? Who are they chatting with? Who are they emailing? Who are they hanging out with? I think as parents, we should know every one of our kids' friends personally. You come across somebody, you know, that's hanging out with your son or daughter and they're very, you know, awkward around you and shy, maybe a little, you know, standoffish. Boy, that's a red flag. The idea is we need to teach our children to select their companions wisely. And that goes for us as adults too. Amen? The righteous choose their friends wisely. Now, why is that so important? Why do we have to be very careful about that? Well, I think it's very simple and it's obvious to most of us. Our friends have a huge influence on our lives. Right? I mean, all of us tend to take on the characteristics of the people that we spend a lot of time with. We just do. We start talking like one another, dressing like one another, engaging in the same activities with one another, thinking like one another. We influence one another. And it's so easy as a parent to see that with our kids, but understand the same thing happens with us as adults. We rub off on each other. We mirror one another. One Bible commentator said, "Show me a man's companions and I'll show you his character." One of the most accurate spiritual barometers of someone's life is the people he chooses to keep company with. Goff said, "Tell me with whom thou art found and I will tell thee who thou art. Let me know thy chosen employment and I will cast the horoscope of thy future." Why? Because we're with them all the time. We're constantly seeing their example of how they live life. We're with those people all the time. We hear their philosophies, their advice, their counsel all the time. Those people that you let into that inner circle influence you big time. And here's the deal. If you begin to let worldly, evil, perhaps wicked, ungodly people into that area of your life, it will begin to influence you for the worse. It will rub off on you. They will rub off. There's a verse that's so applicable to this subject found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. I'm just going to read it to you, but listen to what Paul says. To me, this is one of the scariest verses in the Bible. Paul the Apostle says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, "Do not be deceived." Now, whenever the Bible says "do not be deceived," it means they say that because a lot of people get deceived. "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Listen to that. You could be a strong Christian man, a strong Christian woman, a man of God, a woman of God. You could have been walking with the Lord for years, and you could have developed good habits in your life. And if you let evil company get too close, the Scripture says that company can corrupt your good habits. And you say, well, I got to reach out to people, or I'm stronger than that. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Charles Swindoll commented on this verse. He said, all things being equal, if you run with bad company, it will corrupt you. It's like putting on a pair of white gloves, picking up mud, and mixing it around in your hand. He said, the mud never gets glovey. Never saw glovey mud in my life. But invariably, the gloves get muddy. And you say, oh, that's not going to happen to me. Well, it won't happen overnight. It'll happen slowly. Paul said, a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. If you have people like that entering into your inner circle, becoming those close friends, occupying the place of those close relationships, it will bring you down. It will corrupt you. Look what it says there in verse 26. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Getting close, wicked friends like that, maybe ungodly, worldly, they will lead you astray. I'm sorry, that's just what's going to happen. And it can lead to serious things. Pits, traps, destructions in life. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. Turn over there for just a moment. Solomon, acting like a... Actually, most people think that this book was primarily written by Solomon as a father to his son, giving his son this wisdom and all these important choices to make in life. And look what he says in verse 10 of Proverbs chapter 1. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. You know, that's almost like a setting that you would see happening on the streets of America every single day or in some public schools. A young man or a young woman being recruited by a group of people that want them to be a part of their gang, get involved in crime, do this or that. And notice how adventurous they make it sound. And how, hey, if you just join us, you're going to get all these riches, you're going to get all this power. Solomon says, if sinners entice you, don't consent. In verse 15, he says, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. You get mixed up with a group like that. You get tight with people like that. You're headed for a trap. You're headed for problems. They will influence you. We have kids as young as mid-high in our services on Sunday morning here. And let me just share a few things with you. Maybe mid-high, high school, even college age. Listen, if you have some quote-unquote friends at school that are telling you that you need to do drugs, you need to get involved with drugs, you need to, oh, it's fun, it's exciting, or start drinking alcohol, or start come into the party crowds, you need to be popular, you need to do that. Those people are not your friends. They're not your friends. And you will begin walking down a little path that will lead to a trap, and you'll pay dearly for it. And oftentimes, it's the innocent rookie ones that get caught. Maybe you've got some friends at school, and they disrespect their parents. They could care less about their parents. And they would say, look, why do you... You know, your parents are so old-fashioned and Christian, you don't have to listen to them. Respect your mom and dad. Obey your mom and dad. And stay away from anybody that would tell you to disrespect your parents. That's all headed for traps. Do not consent. Do not put your foot on that path. Do not walk with them. Do not choose friends like that. For us as adults, be careful of those people. Maybe you're one who hangs around with a lot of very worldly people, very materialistic. They're driven to get all kinds of stuff here. And boy, they have kind of that influence on you. Maybe you're a Christian man and you're hanging out with some Christian men who don't necessarily respect their own wives, don't respect marriage. Maybe they're cheating, messing around. Maybe they're not the best examples of what a father should be. And maybe they're sort of moving you in that direction and that thinking, oh man, do not consent. Do not walk on that path. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 19, Solomon says, hear my son and be wise. Guide your heart in the way. Do not mix with wine bibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 5, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. I love what he says to his son in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 7, just very bluntly and directly. Go from the presence of a foolish man. When you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge, so important. My brother and sister in Christ, choose your friends wisely. If you choose the wrong friends, they'll impact you in a bad way. But the flip side is true as well. If you surround yourself with good, solid, responsible, dependable people, friends, they'll influence you for the better. I mean, you'll become a part of this group, and everybody in that group's influencing each other for the better, and there's positive things happening up all over people's lives. You want to find friends like that. In a cemetery, a little white stone marked the grave of a dear little girl. And on the stone were chiseled these words, a child of who her playmate said, it was easier to be good when she was with us. One of the most beautiful epitaphs ever heard of. You want people like that close to you. The people who make it easier for you to be good. Young person, hear that. All of us hear that. In consider some other reasons why we should be very careful in choosing our friends. Well, all of us, from time to time, make mistakes, right? Life can get difficult for all of us. We can go through some very difficult times. There's times in life where you feel like you're the hero. And then there's times in life when you definitely know that you're the goat. You know, you have those ups and you have those down periods in your life. Listen, if you've got some good friends, they'll be there for you in the ups and the downs of life. They'll be there for you. If you haven't selected friends very well, then you're going to have fair weather friends. Friends that will desert you when you're down. It's been said, if you really want to know who your friend is, just make a mistake. A good, solid friend will be with you, even when you're the goat, even when you're humiliated, to pick you up, to encourage you. You remember the story that Jesus told of the prodigal son? Remember, this son goes to his dad and says, I want all the my inheritance right now. And so his father gave him his inheritance, and he went out and he squandered it all on loose living. You remember this story? And I've always pictured him out in the bars, having the nightlife, buying all the drinks. Woo! Party, party. And what happens? The famine takes place. And where does that kid end up? In a pig's pen. Not a good place for a Jewish boy to hang out, by the way. Feeding pigs. So hungry that he was wishing he could fill his own body with those pods that you feed to pigs. My question about that story is, what happened to all those friends? Where were all those ones that were, hey man, you're my buddy? They're gone. But if you take time to choose those companions, those friends carefully, you're going to find friends that stay with you, that are loyal to you, that love you, that are with you in the ups and downs. One of the best definitions of friendship that I've ever heard is this. A friend, a true friend, the first person who comes in when the whole world has gone out. That's a friend. Here's another reason why we need to choose our friends wisely. All of us need to grow. We need to always be constantly growing. And I found that it's human nature to stop growing, especially as we get older. Why is that? You know, we'll stop growing academically, or we'll stop growing spiritually, or we'll stop growing, you know, in our career or in anything. You know what? If you are surrounding yourself with good, awesome, dependable, solid Christian brothers and sisters in Christ, those friends aren't going to let you do that. They're going to push you forward. They're going to keep you reaching. And they're not going to be afraid to say things that are tough to hear, but we need to hear. Again, if you've surrounded yourself with friends that are questionable, they're not going to care about whether or not you progress, whether you grow. In fact, they're going to try to keep dragging you down. Or at least, hey, stay at our level. Why do things have to change? No. You want people that say, get better. Once Henry Ford was having lunch with a man, and he suddenly asked that man, who is your best friend? And the man started naming certain people. No, said Mr. Ford, I will tell you who your best friend is. He took out a pencil and wrote on the tablecloth this sentence. Your best friend is he who brings out the best that is within you. I would just ask you, analyze your current friendships right now, your compadres, your bros, your close associates. Do they push you higher or do they bring you lower? Have they demonstrated that they will be with you in the tough times? Not just in the good times. Another great reason to select your friends wisely. It will enhance your life. If you get the right friends, your life is going to be enhanced. Man, if you get the right people and you have that fellowship that you enjoy with them, you're going to laugh like you've never laughed before. You'll dream like you've never dreamed before. You'll enjoy company. And it'll be prosperous for you. Beneficial to you. H.K. Downey tells about a large newspaper that offered a substantial amount of cash for the best answer to this question. What's the shortest way to London? The entry which won the prize was, the shortest way to London is good company. The best life is good company. Ever been with that person and you can just talk for hours and it's like, whoa, what time is it? That person. We need that person. Now here's the deal. Most people choose their friends only for that element, for the enjoyment and the laughter. That's a very big part of friendship. But don't forget about the other things you need to look for. Do they influence you in the right way? Will they be there for you when you're down? Are they people that raise you higher? Get all of those characteristics. You find a friend like that and you be a friend to a friend like that and you keep that friendship forever. Protect it. The righteous choose friends carefully. How do I get a friend like that? Maybe you're here and you're lonely. You struggle with loneliness in your life and you don't have many friends. And you'd like friends like that. Or maybe you sit here and you know that you have the wrong set of friends. And I need to find the right friends. Well, how would I go about doing that? Well, you've got to make the effort. You have got to make the effort. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26 says, the righteous chooses his friends. They're active. You can't just sit around and let friends choose you. You have got to make the initiative. You got to go out and reach out to people and show interest in people. Dale Carnegie said, you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you. Solomon says in Proverbs 18, verse 24, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. And then I would say, where would be a good place to find friends? My brother and sister in Christ, listen. The best friends in your life should be solid, mature Christians. Solid, mature Christians. Men and women of faith. Guys, men that will lift you spiritually. Men that will pray for you. Men that will challenge you. We need to have solid Christian friendships in our lives. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord is Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? You should reserve the best friendships in your life for brothers and sisters in Christ. Period. Because those Christians, man, we're called salt and light. We're here to influence. We're supposed to be. And influencing people for the better. A true Christian friend will be there for you when you are down. A true Christian friend will be concerned about your growth. And a true Christian friend will be a blast to hang out with. Now, I got to tell you, I'll be very honest with you. When I came back to the Lord several years ago, right in the middle of my college career. I mean, the first part of my college career, I'm hung up in Party Party College USA. Different party friends and all that. And the Lord got a hold of my heart midway through, changed my life in incredible ways, and I knew right away that I would have to make some changes in my friendships. And so I made the effort. There were people that I had to stop spending time with, and I went to other Christian ministries like the Baptist Student Union and Campus Crusade, various ministries, and I'll be honest with you, initially it was hard. You know, I was used to this one sort of crowd, and now I'm into this other kind of crowd. And it was a tough decision, but I stuck with it. And here's what happened in my life. A lot of my party buddies got saved and became Christians, and they're still walking with Christ today because I made a decision. And I began to meet some of the best friends in my whole life at church and in those ministries. Listen, God will put all those pieces together for you. Good, solid friends that will lift you up. Good, solid friends that will influence you for the better. Good, solid Christian friends that will cause you to grow. And good, solid Christian friends to laugh with, to dream with, to enjoy life with. And it's real life. Are you here this morning without one single person in your life that you could call a good Christian friend? And you're a Christian? We are early on in 2009. Make that your resolution. Make that your goal. By the end of this year, I'm going to have solid Christian friends. And there's ways for you to do that. You go out and you get involved in a church. You get involved in a men's group or in a women's group or in a youth group. Be it at this church or any other church or maybe a ministry that meets in your high school or a ministry that meets at the office. Whatever you do, make that effort, take that initiative, and I have found that if you ever take one step forward in something that you know is God's will for you, God rushes you. He grabs you and he, oh, let's go, I've been waiting. And buckle your seatbelt. You're probably going to meet the craziest friend you've ever met in your life. I'm talking about people with substance. I'm talking about with people that have dreams to change the world. People that have vision. People that want to use their lives for the glory of God. Come be a part. Such a difference. Very quickly, let me mention a very important form of friendship within the context of this study, and that would be dating. In fact, that passage out of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, specifically that applies to dating. Friendships with the opposite sex. My precious single Christian sister, do not date non-believers. Do not be involved. Do not get into a relationship like that. Only date and pursue men that love God, that love Jesus. Do not get impatient. Wait patiently for that. You do not want to get involved in a relationship like that. And you don't want to do any missionary dating either, ladies. One of the worst things that you can see in this life is a beautiful, gorgeous, godly woman
in the arms of a non-believing pagan man who doesn't even know what he, doesn't even appreciate what he's got. What a sad thing. In fact, ladies, I want to give you a little picture just to remember in your mind. This is one you'll never forget. Proverbs 11, verse 22 says, "As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion." I want you to get real grossed out by that this morning. Picture a slimy, drippy pig's nose. And you got this gold ring that you've put right in the midst of all that slime. Yuck, huh? So is a godly woman who lacks discretion and gets attached to a non-believer. And you say, well, I can make it work. No. All you have to do is fast forward life a little bit. Just fast forward life a little bit. I see it all the time. Guys, date godly women. Don't get impatient. Or maybe you do get impatient, but don't do anything stupid in your impatience. Wait. It will happen quickly. There was a lady a few years ago came to talk to Kim and I after church in a counseling, just crying, "Where are all the Christian men wanting to be married? Older in life now. Mother clock ticking." And I remember her just crying and wondering and, you know, and working. And then even being tempted to go out and hang out with some other guys at work that weren't in the church or Christians and just had that temptation. We prayed for her. We said, "Hey, stick it out. Hang tough." Within a year, I was performing a wedding ceremony for her and her godly husband. And they just had a baby here recently. Listen, give God a chance. Don't try to make things happen on your own. Spend your time serving Him and doing what's right. Amen. The righteous choose their friends carefully. Let me close this morning by reminding all of us, however, who should be our best friend. Who's our best friend? Jesus. And He'll be the best friend you ever have. Jesus said, no greater love has one than this, that He lay down His life for His friends. And Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, didn't He? Jesus told His disciples, "I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. I've made things known to you," He said. Christian, don't ever forget who your true best friend is. And remember, He will always be the best friend that you ever have. Hang out with Him regularly. Spend time with Him. Spend the day in the awareness of His presence with you. Nurture that friendship. And then go out and find those close, solid Christian friendships with brothers and sisters in Christ. What about non-believers? Should I hang out with them at all? Do we want to become this closed Christian community? No. We need to reach out to those that don't know Christ. In all those acquaintances that we have. And go out and minister to them. But just remember, your closest friendships are brothers and sisters. Would you bow your heads with me and we'll close this? Decision time for you this morning. Christian brother, Christian sister, I just simply ask you to think about this. Are you in good company? Are you in good company? What do you need to do about it? Maybe you're a Christian here this morning and you don't have one other good Christian friend. Your goal
should be to go find one. In the right places. Maybe that's your prayer this morning. Maybe you're a Christian in bad company and you know what you have to make. You have to make a decision. You need to stop spending as much time as you're spending with certain friends that are influencing you in the wrong way. Not being rude about it or snobby about it, but so important you need to make that decision. Parent. Have you shared with your child about the pressure, groups, peer pressure? Have you warned them? Have you prepared them? Young person. Especially young people. We are more prone to follow a bad example than to set a good example. So, my younger brothers and sisters in Christ, get a Christian gang together. Find those friends at school that love Jesus and lift each other up. Perhaps there might be some here this morning who don't have many friendships, and they can look back and see how certain friendships were destructive to them. Here you sit. You need a fresh start. First step for you, let Jesus be your friend. Open your heart to Him. He is here for you. As AJ said, He has paid the price. All He's waiting for you is to come to Him. He will become your best friend. And He will lead you into better friendships. The Bible says we become a friend of God by putting our faith in Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. Rose again that third day. You got to get your sins forgiven. You got to become born again, and you become a child. I want to extend an invitation this morning. If there's anyone here who's never received Christ, you haven't made that decision, or maybe you just feel like you really need to rededicate that and solidify that issue right now. If that's you, I'd like you to raise your hand high so I can see it. Anybody here? I'll lead you in a word of prayer. In your heart, pray a prayer like this if you need to pray that prayer this morning. Just simply, Lord Jesus, I come to You. Thank You for dying on the cross for my sins. Come into my life. I surrender my life to You. I want to be Your friend. Change me. Help me. Lord, I would pray for all of us that tremendous friendships would be developed here. Help us get involved in one another's lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand together.